Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NIIT Limited Q1 FY16 Investors Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on this call. We are very happy to see such a large number of people on the call, and I know it's a busy season, so we'd like to come straight to the point. This is also the first quarter in which Rahul Patwardhan, who took over as CEO, that he would be reporting the performance of the company. And I have, along with Rahul, his colleagues and our colleagues, Shivan Bharga, who is the Group President of the Skills and Careers Group, Sapnesh Lalla, who's the Group President of Corporate Learning Group, Rohit Gupta, who's the CFO, Gaurav Ralhan, who looks after all the investor-related materials, and Kapil Saurabh, responsible for investor relations, Rajendra Pawar, who's the Chairman of the company, and Rajendran, who's the Joint Managing Director. So all of us will attempt the questions. I would first request Rahul to, or Pat, as we call him, to give a brief to all of us on this quarter's results, at the end of which I would also like to give a small update on last year's results and the AGM date that got finalized today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who I met on the 27th of May, good to meet up with you again virtually. And for those of you who I have not met before, welcome to the NIIT Quarterly Results Conference. This is my first quarter formally announcing the results for the quarter as the CEO of the company. So if I'm a little inexperienced, I'm sure you'll excuse me. This has been a very busy quarter. As you know, the first quarter of the year for NIIT is when things start picking up substantially. But in addition, we've been through a major business transformation and completed that at the end of the last quarter with some activities with respect to training and preparing of the people for the new model going forward, also spilling over into this quarter. It's also a very busy period for us in terms of appraisals and setting goals and targets for individuals. And I'm happy to let you know that 98% of all employees of NIIT within a few weeks after the beginning of the year have their official targets and have completed their appraisals for the last year to drive a consequence management and performance management ethic into the organization. We've also done a number of things in terms of the schools demerger. The finance team has been very busy with the scheme of arrangement. The SCG organization has been very focused at getting ready for the season. We've had a very intensive communication program across the company with our annual days in every city. We've also had very detailed and insightful discussions into the future of the organization of the core management team. And apart from that, we've obviously seen we've had a rebranding campaign that started off towards the end of June. And we've also been pretty active in making our plans and directions and our rebranding in the market much more visible. So I'm going to take you through a few headlines. The headlines, first, NIIT overall is back to growth and back to profitability in quarter one. This is on the back of sustained growth and margins in the corporate learning business and a significant turnaround in the skills and career business, which is a direct outcome of the successful business transformation, not just the cost restructuring, but also the activities which we have done as part of business transformation to drive revenues. Also, the completion of the subsidiary formation in the schools business, The new branding campaign, NIIT, the place to go places, clearly communicating the fact that NIIT is now no more just an IT training company. It is in all different sectors. And that was further compounded by our intense engagement with the Skill India program and the Pradhan Mantri Kaushal Vikas Yojana program, which kicked off in July, and where we made a commitment to train 10 million people over the next 5 years across 16 industry sectors. The corporate learning business grew 15% year-on-year with a 12% EBITDA, increased its visibility to $200 million, increased the order book to by 27 million at a 67% growth rate YOY, 5 new contracts, 1 new large pharmaceutical customer. The skills and career business, we halted the degrowth and we have reached break-even, and all this on the successful business transformation a little bit earlier than expected. So I'm hopeful that we shall see more increased, improved results as we go into the rest of the year. Very importantly, Beyond IT grew from 34% in quarter four to 39% in quarter one. Our channel did well. There's been a 7% year-on-year growth in our channel business, which is through our business partners in India. And of course, as I mentioned, we successfully engaged and completed the pilot with the Pradhan Mantri Kaushal Vikas Yojana and are ready to exploit opportunities that are emerging in that space. Schools business, we maintained the EBITDA with slight improvement of few basis points. We added 111 schools. We completed the subsidiary formation. And we also have initiated the more intensive growth planning to now exploit value from the new subsidiary. The top level in the numbers, we grew our net revenue by 4% to 33.2 crores. Our profit after tax increased from 0.6 crores last year, same quarter, to 15 crores this quarter. And our EBITDA grew from 6% to 7%, an increase of 135 basis points. If you look at the environment, the global economy continues to remain in transition. We are starting to expect tightening of monetary conditions in the U.S., geopolitical risks and sharp volatility in exchange rates, commodity prices can create both risks and opportunities. However, the corporate spending on training in U.S. and Europe remains robust, and we're continuing to see increased interest among the large companies to drive efficiency and effectiveness in training to improve business performance, and we're starting to note that in Indian corporates too. The Digital India Mission has been launched, the Skill India Mission has been launched, and the PMKVY scheme under the Skill India Mission has been launched. All this provides a substantial opportunity going forward. Apart from that, we see continued focus on technology being applied into the education and training space, and that's something that we are engaged with through our cloud campus and our synchronous learning platform. Just to give you a summary view, the NSDC had a survey conducted about the demand for new skills in the different industry sectors. The expected amount of new people that need to be trained to enter 32 industry sectors is about 100 million people, and another 400 million people need to be reskilled if India is to be able to achieve its potential in terms of two things: be more competitive internationally, to be competitive vis-a-vis multinationals who are going to be much more free to come into the country, and most important, to bring jobs from aging Western economies and developed economies to India. And for that, raising the skill levels of the existing workforce across all industries to world standards is a very serious imperative. So all good opportunities for NIIT with our scale and our reach to make and deliver services across the whole country. If you look at our growth platforms, our corporate business, the primary growth platform was MTS, or the Managed Training Services. We grew our customer base from 21 customers to 25 customers year-on-year. We added one new customer in this quarter. Our revenue visibility grew from 180 million last year, same quarter, to 201 million. Skills and Careers and our skills business, we have merged them together into a common group, which we're calling Skills and Careers now, or SNC is the code that we're using to reflect that business. And there are two growth platforms here. One is the whole dimension of expanding the product portfolio to beyond IT, and a lot of initiatives, as I mentioned, are being taken in that space. And the second is to leverage technology through the cloud campus. So we have a few new metrics here. We are measuring now the percentage of our revenues that are coming from beyond IT, which has grown from 34% in quarter one last year to 39% in this quarter. And in fact, it also grew 34% last quarter to 39%. So there's been a 5% improvement in this quarter alone. For our physical centers, 58% of our centers in India and China and anywhere else are now cloud-enabled, which means that we can offer cloud-based services to students in those centers. 75% of our product portfolio is cloud-enabled. And our Indian capacity utilization has grown from 31% in quarter four to 38% in this quarter. In the schools business, with NGuru being the platform, we signed 111 schools and raised the number of schools that we have addressed to 2,738. And the focus business going forward, which we, when we exclude the government business that we have already decided many quarters back that we're exiting, if we leave that aside, a focused IP-led private schools business contributes 30% of our revenue today. I'd like to highlight and look at the overall NIT results that are operational PAT, if we exclude the profit that comes from our partner, from our investment in NTL, has come back to black after 10 quarters. And our EBITDA in the SNC business is the best quarter one in the last 4 years. If you look at the business mix, quarter one last year, corporate business was 49% of our revenue, and now it is 55%. Our skills and career business was 33%, it's come down to 31%. The schools business was 18%, it's come down to 14%. If you look at EBITDA, the corporate business was predominantly the one that was delivering the EBITDA at 101%, and schools was delivering 17%, but the skills and career business was eating up the margin by 18% last year, same quarter. This year, basically the corporate business and the schools business are delivering the EBITDA, with the skills and career business essentially flat. If you recall, for those of you who had the investor meet in Mumbai on 27th May, we had indicated our plans for the year going forward. We said that our corporate business will grow at 15% over the year and at 20% EBITDA. And as you've seen, for this quarter, we have delivered on that. For our skills and careers business, we said that we'll be back to growth and back to profitability over the year. And we have been essentially able to get to that at the end of the quarter one. And obviously, we now see improvement as we go forward. In the go-forward business, or our focus business in the school sector, which is essentially the IP-led private schools business, we said that we will grow 10% on the top line and 10% EBITDA. We have been very focused over the last 2-3 months. We've been focused on the last 2-3 months. At the subsidiary formation and putting together the plans for how we want to grow this business. So we will start seeing those numbers coming through over the rest of the year. Obviously, there's a large amount of work ahead of us. We've just taken the first step. We had a very clear plan on business transformation that we wanted to execute. We had a clear view of what that business transformation would translate to in our quarter one numbers. And I'm pleased that we've been able to get to where we wanted to get at the end of this quarter. But obviously, a lot of work ahead to make sure that we continue to deliver on this trajectory over the year. A couple of comments on our balance sheet. Our net debt has risen from 670 million to 1053 million. Primarily on account of seasonality, because we have substantial billing that happened towards the end of the quarter, but more importantly, because of there were some government schools contracts where payments have taken a little longer and slipped over into this quarter. In addition to that, we had planned CapEx investments, which are to do with expanding the capacity of our corporate learning group. Since it's growing 15% per year, we have to build capacity. And more important, we also have a once-in-three-year investment that we have to make in software licenses, which happened in this quarter. Our ROC is now deflecting 5% for the quarter. If you go to people, our headcount today stands at 2695 at the end of quarter one, down from 2786 at the end of quarter four. We've been very, very tight in managing all additions to our workforce and very, very focused on people productivity, and I think we can see the results have come through. The decreases in headcount have primarily been in the SNC or skills and career business and a little bit in the schools business. Shareholding pattern, my last comment, we've seen a noticeable increase in the FII investment, which grew from 10% of holding to 13% of holding over the quarter. The future direction, I'd like to restate again, we continue to hold to what we said in May. Our corporate business will grow on top line by 15% over the year and EBITDA margin at 12% over the year. Our skills and career business will be back to growth and back to profit, and our go-forward or focus private sector school business will have a top-line growth of 10% and our EBITDA of 10%. And with that, I'd like to stop and take questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session.
Just one moment, operator.
Sure.
There is one little part of the briefing which is still to be done. This is Vijay again, and I just wanted to give an update along with this quarter's results. Today, the board also had a discussion on updating the results, which we had announced on 27th of May. Just to give a background, we had undertaken, as you know, a composite scheme of arrangement for rationalization of subsidiary company structure as a part of our business transformation initiative. This included amalgamation of three wholly owned subsidiaries. All of you would remember Scantec, NIT Online, and Evolve Services. And while finalizing the accounts on May 27, the board wanted to record the assets and liabilities of these amalgamating companies on fair value basis. However, given the specific nature of the amalgamation and the technicality of the matter, it was felt that an opinion be sought from Expert Advisory Council of the Institute of Chartered Accountants of India. However, given the mandatory timeline that we have for announcement of results, based on expert advice, it was decided that pending receipt of opinion from the Expert Advisory Council, the assets and liabilities of the amalgamating companies will be recorded at respective book values. And that was to be on a more conservative basis, and necessary adjustments, if any, will be made after the opinion is received. I'm pleased to inform you that the ESC has now clarified that the recording of assets and liabilities of amalgamating companies at respective fair values is compliant with the accounting standards and Indian GAAP. And therefore, the financial statements in today's board meeting, the board has approved the financial statements to be updated accordingly. The importance of this transaction is, number one, there has been a change in, there are some changes made in the balance sheet. There is absolutely no impact on the profit and loss accounts. The nature of changes in balance sheet is the creation of a capital reserve on amalgamation line item, and that line item will appear both in the standalone as well as the consolidated balance sheet. It strengthens the balance sheet and reflects the true value of assets. And yet, while calculation of return on capital employed on the consolidated company, the capital reserve as per the institute and company law guidelines is not to be considered. So to that extent, it would be very beneficial to the strengthening of balance sheet program of the company. I thought I'll give this update, though it has all been provided to the stock exchange, even today as well as on 7th of July when the board meeting was announced. And also, details of all this will be available in the MD&A, which will be circulated along with the annual report. Based on this and the finalization of annual report,
the AGM of the company has now been fixed for 8th of September at New Delhi, and we would very much like all of you to join us at the AGM as well. So I'll stop here, and now the floor is open for questions, and all my colleagues will join in answering these questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question at this time, please press star and one. The first question is from the line of Manik Taneja from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the progress made on the skills and the careers group business. My question to you, and this is more of a medium to longer term term view. Historically, in the past, we used to make close to 15% plus margins on the training business before we saw the headwinds. And there used to be a break even factor in terms of capacity utilization, which used to be something like a mid 60s kind of a level. Given the change in the business mix, and we've broken even at about a 35% capacity utilization currently. Could you give us some sense on when do you expect to get to that kind of a capacity utilization, and what kind of margin levels should we look at more from a 3 to 5 years perspective in this side of the business?
Yeah, it's a good question. This business is a highly leveraged business, but I would heighten to say that it was much more highly leveraged earlier when we had substantial own capacity in the business. Today we have a mix of businesses because we do a lot of B2G business with government for skilling. We also do business with the corporate sector in India, and we have our own centers, and we have the business partners, and we have some international geographies. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there is the mix, as you rightly put it, has changed. Having said that, the whole purpose of the consolidation that we did in Q4 was to look at the capacity very carefully and bring it to a level which gave us confidence, comfort that we will be able to bring very quickly the business back to profit and to break even first and then to profit. So I think everything is dependent on now the success that we are able to achieve in growing the beyond IT portfolio of business and capitalizing on the opportunity in the market. At this point of time, we are not prepared to give any specific forecasts on revenue growth of this business and EBITDA of this business. I would reserve my comments as we start demonstrating results in this area quarter to quarter.
Sure. But you would have looked at competition in this space, what kind of stable margins then that people can make in this part of the business, if you could give us some sense. Or say, is there a possibility that we can also move to the margins that we've had historically, maybe over a 3 to 5 year time frame?
I think the issue is, unlike other industries, you don't really have a bunch of competitors who can really benchmark yourself against. There's a whole wide range of margin levels in this industry depending on the size of companies, and there really isn't anybody else of our size to compare ourselves with. But in a theoretical way, I would say that if we can achieve capacity utilizations which are 50-60%, then obviously our margins are going to be substantially better. At this point of time, that's all I'm willing to say.
Sure. And you talked about consolidating your capacity across different dimensions. So if you could talk about what steps you have taken with regards to the business that you do through your partners on the skills and the careers group.
Yeah, good question. In the last quarter, as I mentioned, as was defined at the investor meet in May, we discussed the various consolidating activities we did. We reduced the capacity, number one, of our own centers. We also took a hard look at our business partner network and looked at partners who are not performing and not doing very well, or some of them are not actually operational. So there also we've taken some cuts. Third, we did a restructuring of our headcount in this business and delayering of the business. And fourth, We also exited certain international geographies. All this was completed in quarter four itself, so nothing carried forward into this quarter.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, we also took a look at our product portfolio, and we reduced the product portfolio from almost 200 courses down to a little less than 100 to make sure that we are focusing on products which we have greater confidence will deliver revenue growth and margin. On the other side, we looked at the channel and we basically focused at converting all our channel partners progressively from what was initially single brand outlets, essentially offering only IT training,
mm-hmm.
to making them all into multi-skilling centers where every center will progressively offer the entire curriculum of NIIT across all subject domains.
Mm-hmm.
In this quarter, we made substantial progress in this area, specifically around our banking range of curriculum,
mm-hmm.
and our management curriculum. And as I mentioned before, our percentage of beyond IT has now grown from 34% to 39%. One statistic which I did not highlight was that our business from our channel has grown 7% year on year, which is a very important indicator because it tells us that our distribution channel is now starting to grow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So while you did allude to the progress on capacity utilization, if we as external stakeholders should be looking to evaluate the progress of this side of the business, what metrics would you advise us to track to understand if things are progressing in the right direction?
Yeah, the metrics that I shared with you are the ones that I'd like you to track. What percentage of our revenue is continuing to grow from the other domains? Because as I mentioned, in the total demand in the market for skills, IT is actually a very small component of the total demand. And the more we can start tapping into other sectors, obviously we'll be able to increase the potential for growth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one metric. The mm-hmm. second is that we are making sure that we enable all our physical centers with access to technology so that we can have cloud-based delivery. Because that makes it easier for us to get a wider range of courses to every outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, good faculty are difficult to get across the whole country. So the more we're able to deliver using technology,
mm-hmm.
we can reach much larger numbers. Even by having faculty and experts from central locations.
Sure.
Third is the product portfolio itself needs to be technology enabled, because it's not enough to have the technology for delivery, but the products must be technology enabled. And therefore, the metric of over a period of time is every course of NIIT cloud enabled, which means that it can also be delivered through technology. That's one more metric. And of course, the most important metric for the physical capacity investment that we have is the capacity utilization going up.
Mm-hmm.
But we must remember that own center revenue is a part of our total revenue. So you should not draw conclusions on the overall business success only on the basis of center capacity utilization, because it's a product mix based business. So portfolio management is going to be very important for us in making sure that while one part may go down a little bit or not grow that much in a particular quarter, other parts will make up for it.
Apologies that I'm asking a long list of questions, but where are we currently on each of these parameters? If you could give us some sense on in terms of what is the mix of own center revenues within this group, similarly, how many courses are tech enabled in?
I just mentioned it at the beginning. I'll repeat it again.
Sure.
Beyond IT grew from 34% in quarter four to 39% in quarter one.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of our physical outlets which are cloud enabled, this is not just our outlets, but our outlets and our business partner outlets. 58% of our physical centers are now cloud enabled.
Mm-hmm.
75% of our courses are cloud enabled.
Mm-hmm.
And our capacity utilization has gone up from 31% in quarter four to 38% in this quarter. And I don't mean the quarter, by end of March it was 31%.
Mm-hmm.
And end of June, it is 38%. So it's a point-in-time number.
So 31 to 38.
31%.
And this capacity utilization is only for own centers, or this includes both the channel partner centers?
This is only own centers, because this is where our own assets are invested. So we are tracking this metric because this has direct impact on the profitability of NIIT's business.
And if I can ask, what is the mix of your own center revenues within the SCG group?
I don't have the number right now, but we don't report it also separately because, as I said, we are doing a product portfolio-based business SCG.
Sure. Thank you and all the best for the transition.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Baladia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, and good to see the improved numbers. Sir, my question is again revolving on the utilization levels. Sir, does this improvement from 31 to 38, is this because of the you have closed down the facilities or is this the absolute increase?
Good question. Obviously, it has an impact of both. When we did the business transformation, as I shared with you in May, we took decisions consciously to make sure that the result of our action will guarantee that we will be back to profit in this year, irrespective of the range of possible revenues that we might achieve, because there is always some range. And I think we've been able to deliver on that. But what's important is that, as I mentioned, channel revenues have grown year on year. We've seen improvements in fresh registrations at our own centers. So we're seeing various green shoots in terms of growth. So overall, we can see that we will be back to growth as far as the top line is concerned for the year.
Okay. Sir, I believe you will not commit what kind of capacity utilization you would be looking at end of the year?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Sir, on the non-IT side of business, that beyond IT business, if I see on an absolute basis, the growth is about 10-11%. Are you satisfied with these numbers or can this go up?
Yeah, it's 12% to be exact, but you're right. The potential is enormous, but you must remember that we also have to gear up and get many things in place to be able to capitalize on that potential. There are also many constraints because we're talking about the demand is scattered across the whole country, not necessarily in the towns and cities where we have our own centers. So we have to progressively build up the distribution channel to be able to reach the demand in terms of the students who need to be trained on the one hand. Second, if you look at the Skill India program, a large percentage of the training is going to have to be funded through government spending. And that has its own cycle time in terms of how it picks up. But you're right, over time, this number, and that's why beyond IT revenues, should grow and should be substantially higher as a percentage than it is today over the next few years.
Okay. Sir, on the new this Digital India, in specific to skills,
right.
You have taken a target of about 1 crore people to be trained over the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Sir, is there any investment firmed up for this venture?
Yeah. First, I'd like to clarify that it's not for Digital India, but Skill India. Digital India is the technology infrastructure that we will be able to leverage because it will provide broadband connections into towns and villages and mobile access all over the country. And all that will be bandwidth and technology which we can use to rapidly scale up the skilling activity under Skill India. So that's the context important.
Yes. In terms of investments, if you can comment.
Yeah. So I think the model that NIIT is following is going to be asset light and technology intensive. So we have a network. Today we have a large network of business partners. We are continuing to grow the network of business partners in through a hub and spoke model because we have people in business partners in B and C class cities, but we don't have business partners in smaller towns beyond that. So we will have spoke centers, which are essentially partners who provide facilities, infrastructure, and the acquisition of students. So the whole model is going to be partner-based on the one hand, and the other hand is technology-based, where we will deliver things using technology more and more. So investments are not substantial because there is no brick-and-mortar investment that we are envisaging in this business.
Okay. I believe there would be an element of subsidy in this business. Who would bear the subsidy?
The models are different in how the Skill India activity is happening. There are certain components where students are actually paying, so we have a B2C component. There are certain components where it's a part student pay, part government pay. There are certain models where the government is paying for everything, but based on results. But what's important is that we are very carefully looking at all the models, and employer also pays in some cases. So there are different models available. We are very carefully scrutinizing the entire range of contracts that are being put out in the market, and we are being very selective because, as you know, we have had collection issues with the government schools business, so we have no desire to get back into that state. We are only engaging with contracts where there is a positive cash flow structured in the overall contract cycles format. And in fact, we turned down many opportunities strictly on that basis, which in turn, by the way, will have its constraint on how much we could actually grow. And therefore, the growth may not be as huge as it might appear because we will be selective about the business we'll go after.
Sure. Now, coming to school business. Sir, is there any difference between IP-led private school business and private school, or it is one and the same?
Yeah, good question. After the government schools business that we started many years back, we had also adopted a similar model in the private schools to begin with, where we used to provide all the hardware and a complete turnkey solution into the schools. So that was an asset-heavy schools business. Sometime back, we took a decision that we are not going to go into further contracts in the government schools model. And we also took a decision that we will not do any more asset-heavy schools business where we provide lots of computers and infrastructure. So our focus is we want to add value in schools, and it's going to be based on providing IP, which is courseware, content, teaching systems, and people-based services.
So right now, your focus is on this 30% of the revenue and not on the 70% of the revenue.
Yes, yes. And because at 70%, we have already stated quarter after quarter that we are in the process of exiting it. And we have a few contracts left which will carry forward. And by end 2 years from now, we should have exited all these contracts.
And right now, what you have added is 111 schools. All the schools are on IP-led.
Absolutely. We do not do any more asset-led contracts.
Great. One more. Board has also issued 1.5 million ESOPs. So to whom these ESOPs have been issued?
So this is a select group of management in the company.
Okay.
And to align them to the results and success of the business going forward.
Okay. One final question. Still, we are reporting official result on a standalone basis. Do we have a plans to report on the console?
We are reporting on a standalone basis. The reason being, there is a trade-off between reporting them early versus having them audited and then reporting them after a long time. So quarterly results we will continue to give on an unaudited basis. Just to let you know that the company is accountable for the unaudited results as much as it is accountable for the audited results. Because at the end of the year, if there are massive differences or major differences between unaudited and audited results, then those are not permitted. And we want to make sure that we are able to report our results on time so that our investors get an update on the company as fast as possible.
Sure, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ganesh Shetty, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for the hard work done and the results which are shown in quarter one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, as a part of transformation journey, we have completed our first phase of restructuring in the quarter four, and we are into the operational excellency in the first quarter of this year. Can I know how much we have progressed in that particular phase, sir?
Yeah, very good. Operational excellence is all about breathing growth and energy into the system. It has many dimensions. One is the people dimension itself. We have engaged in very, very extensive communication across the whole organization. All the senior management have been traveling around, engaging with every NIITian, telling the same story, the same message, the same direction, so that we can galvanize the full energy of the entire NIIT population. Very important. you cannot measure the results and what might come out of this, but as you can understand, this is really important to set the whole organization in the same direction. The second thing that we have done is, especially in the SCG business, because there has been a huge restructuring in that business, we focused very heavily on making sure that, what was the restructuring? We had many, many different branded channels. So we had a banking training center, we had a management training center, we had IT training centers. So all the staff were in their little silos in the past. Now we have only multi-skilling training centers where everybody who works in those centers wears one hat, which is the SCG hat, not a management hat or a banking hat or an IT hat, apart from, of course, the expert faculty who will come from the relative disciplines. But the sales force who work in the field, the counselors in the front office, and everybody else has to now be adept at offering and managing across all the businesses. So there's been intensive training that's happened in the month of April. And in fact, that has had a little bit of an impact on the results. The results would have been better if people had been completely ready, but they had to be ready sometime, so the training happened in April. Thirdly, it's the energizing of the channel, because that's a very, very important asset for us. Now, especially now that we're asset light and technology intensive, the physical distribution channel of our business partners becomes more and more important. And we spent a lot of time making available the whole range of products. Earlier, we used to have a policy that every single new product the business partner offered, they had to go through a legal agreement and a sign up, and there's an upfront payment. So basically, we were making it very difficult, and it took a long time for a partner who wanted a new product to sign up for a new product. So we took a policy decision that all products are available to all partners, without any, basically we made it much simpler for them to sign up. And we've seen substantial impact in terms of a very large number of business partners have signed up for more than just the IT curriculum. And the net result we've seen is a 7% growth in revenues from the channel in quarter one over the same period last year. So many, many dimensions. We've been working very hard in all the businesses, in all the dimensions. Mm-hmm.
Sir, I wish to congratulate again for the very hard work done, and I have one more question, sir, regarding our corporate business. Year on year, quarter on quarter, corporate business is a bread and butter, I think. This time also it has performed excellently, and I want to just put one more possibility. Is there any possibility of inorganic growth in this corporate business, sir? Can you please throw some light over the period of 2-3 years? I want to say whether we are looking for any inorganic growth in this particular sector.
Good question.
Your comments, please, sir. Yeah.
In this industry, there is only one pure play company who only does corporate learning or managed training services internationally. All other companies who we compete with actually have much bigger other businesses. So our focus is to see how can we, on the success track that we've had so far, accelerate a bit faster so that we can be catch up with that player who happens to be completely US-based, and therefore historically their size is larger than us. And therefore we're looking at all avenues. We're trying to see how we can drive up our organic growth higher by focusing on larger ticket deals, longer annuity deals, which I talked about also in May. We're also exploring possibilities. Wherever any possibility comes up, we will explore it seriously for inorganic acquisitions. But there's no specific plan that we have a mandate to do an acquisition by a particular date. Things don't work that way in this industry. It's also important to note that there aren't that many companies worth acquiring in this space. So one has to be extremely careful to look at acquisitions in this sector.
That's all from me, sir. All the best, sir, for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipen Shah from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions on the skills business. Firstly, you have elaborated quite a bit on the steps which you have taken to improve the profitability. If you can just throw some more light on how the fixed cost base on a quarterly basis or an annual basis for this business? How much was it in the previous quarter, and whether there is any further scope for reduction in the fixed cost base for this business?
Yeah, while I can't give you the absolute numbers offhand, we did share in May that the restructuring efforts would lead to a saving on an annual basis of 25 crores over the next four quarters, which is quarter one to quarter four of this year, and thereafter steady state. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say that we have been able to get the results that we wanted to achieve through the restructuring in this quarter, which is roughly one-fourth of that.
Okay. So, should we understand that that part of the restructuring is over and further improvement in margins can come only from the top-line growth?
It depends on the business. So, for the skills and career business, that would be largely true because operating leverage and the schools business also.
And seasonality.
Seasonality is also there in the skills and career business. But in the corporate business, we are focused on improving productivity. I'd like Sapnesh to talk about what we're trying to do to drive up margins over time in the corporate business. Sapnesh.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the question. As you know, productivity has many dimensions. One of the dimensions is how can we do more work with the same resources or fewer resources? How can you improve your offshore-onshore ratio? How can you improve the pricing of what you get or the yield of what you get paid for? And we are working on all three of these dimensions. We have a number of projects on, and we are starting to see initial success. These changes take time to take root, but my expectation is that we will start these changes will start taking roots and will start showing up in our numbers over the next 2 to 3 quarters.
Okay. And more on the skills and career business, I heard in the opening remarks that the benefits which have come in have been slightly front-ended and they have come in probably earlier than expected. So on the top line front, I would just want to understand in the last year we had a degrowth of 16 to 20% on a YOY basis in all the four quarters. This quarter we are almost at flat. So any major trends which you have seen as to how this sudden improvement has come about from a negative 15 to 20% to a flattish growth, and whether this is something, we should take it as a base and move ahead?
Yeah, good question. This is obviously one of the most important things that we are engaged with in turning around the business, because cost restructuring is all very well, but unless the revenue line starts moving up,
exactly,
cost restructuring cannot be the solution. So what we have seen here are a few important things. One is there is a difference in the product mix. That's something to be kept in mind. We have IT training, we have banking training, we have management training, we have skill training, there's work we do for corporate customers in India, and there is also work that we do in the international geographies.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that has actually been steadily degrowing in the last few years was the IT piece.
Yeah.
The second is channel versus own, so that's the other perspective of managing the channel versus managing our own distribution network. What we've seen is a few important things. One is the product mix in all the other sectors apart from IT has obviously grown, which is why beyond IT share has increased from 34% to 39%. Second, the channel has done better because it's grown YOY by 7% rejuvenation, and it is directly as a result of the fact that we started converting them into multi-skilling centers.
Mm-hmm.
So the banking curriculum, for example, has done much better this year. And largely due to the fact that many more business partner centers are offering the banking curriculum than they were doing last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there are basically overall product mix issues. So we're now managing this business as a portfolio of curriculum offered, a portfolio of products offered through a single distribution channel. So think of it like a retail business which has many, many products sold through the same store. And it is our job to manage the mix of those products to deliver the maximum revenue and margins from each store.
Okay. If I actually split the business into the IT and the beyond IT has grown by 20% as compared to the previous quarter. and the IT business has also remained flat. So, you know, anything more to read in the IT business, whether it has also recovered or it is only the beyond IT which has actually started changing the scenario?
Yeah, the primary growth has been beyond IT. In the IT sector, we are seeing changes in the marketplace. I see two significant change levers. As a person who has worked in the IT sector for the last 10 years and managing a very large business in software services, one is the whole digital phenomenon, which is leading to most of the new development work happening in the IT services companies is around a whole bunch of new technologies, which is creating major challenges in most of the IT companies, IT services companies, because the existing workforce is not equipped to handle the new technology range that is required, which is why, for example, you see a news article from TCS saying they want to train 100,000 people on new technologies, and Infosys says they want to train everybody on design thinking. But those are very different courses, new curriculum, many, many specialized areas. So we are seeing this industry will move into a wider portfolio of products, smaller volumes for each product, higher price tag, shorter durations. That's one. The second is the whole issue of automation that's entering the IT services industry, which would mean that there's a large workforce of people who are, should I say, like pawns in the chess game, who had basic skills, which was okay in an environment where when you're working in 500-man teams, each person can do. Now moving to automation will happen at the lower end of the spectrum, and therefore the roles that are required will be much more higher end and much more versatile.
Correct.
And we also have the startup industry where we have many, many companies that are requiring IT people, but these people are not the same kind of people that were required by Infosys, TCS, Wipro in large numbers. These are more all-round, full-stack, versatile skilled people. So we are actually working on a product curriculum to cater to this new demand. We've already launched a number of courses in this area, for example, security or business analytics or digital marketing and so on, and we'll continue to do that. So there's going to be a transformation in what we're doing in this space, which I hope that as we go forward, we'll start seeing the results of that.
Okay. And lastly, on the skills business, the government Skill India initiative, you have indicated you will be covering about 16 different sectors in which you would provide training.
Right.
Could you just give us some color on some of the probable sectors which you would like to, you know, target?
Yeah. So we are in IT, we are in BFSI, we are in retail, we are in telecom. Healthcare is one because a lot of technical professionals required in the healthcare sector, travel and tourism. Our focus is going to be on the service-based sectors. To begin with, because that's the sweet spot which does not require substantial capital investment by us or by the business partners. But as we go forward, we may enter other sectors too. So this statement of 10 million people to be trained across 5 years in 16 sectors is a 5-year program, not a 1-year program.
Sure.
So currently we'll focus largely on the sectors that we're already engaged with. For example, retail. The demand for retail over the next 5 years or 10 years is many times larger than the demand for people in the IT sector or BFSI sector put together. So there's a lot of headroom in many of the sectors that we just entered in a small way. So initially we'll be focusing largely on those.
Okay. Okay. And just lastly, I'm sorry for this. Any probable timeline which you can give us when we will actually start seeing the Skills India training actually impacting the revenue in a, you know, in a more significant way?
Well, one statistic that I can give you is that our overall SNC business degrew minus 3%. But if you leave aside the international geographies that we exited and decided to exit in Q3, Q4, and do a apple-to-apple comparison Q1 to Q1, then actually we degrew only 1%.
Okay.
So we are already there at back to flat, and the trajectory now should only move upwards.
Okay.
And as you know, Q2 is normally the best quarter for the skills business.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. next question is from the line of HR Gala from Panav Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for good set of numbers and significant turnaround. Sir, can you just tell me, I missed the number, how much is the net debt as of now?
Yeah, it's 1058 million. As against 678 million. Yeah, we ended last quarter at 678 and now 1058.
Okay.
And the two components which contributed to that, one was the slightly delayed government schools collections, and the second was planned investments in capacity building for the corporate business and Microsoft licenses, which we buy once in 3 years.
So how is our now overall receivables position?
Receivables. We are 2458. So our overall receivables are to the tune of 2458 million this quarter as of 30th of June. So there is a little increase from the last quarter, which is reflected of the seasonality that we see during the Q1.
Okay.
And as also, you know, Pat mentioned earlier, because of the billing which happens in Q1, but the you know, the collection that we have not received from the government schools has resulted in the receivables.
Okay. So in terms of DSO, how much does it work out?
93 days.
93 days. And by end of the year, what will be your plan like?
So our plan is to bring the DSO days down, and we have been able to bring the DSO days from 119 days to last year to 83 days last quarter. It has moved up slightly this quarter because of, you know, large billing. And as we get the government collections in place, you will see a significant improvement in the DSO days.
I must also mention that the overdue DSO days are only 56.
How many?
51.
Okay. Overdues are 51.
Yeah. So it's because, as Pat rightly pointed out,
okay,
because of the nature of the billing which takes place in the last week of June,
okay,
these DSO days appear higher.
Okay. My another question will be that, you know, you are laying a lot of emphasis on this Skill India and other things, and you rightly said that you will be very careful in selecting the model so that not to get back to the type of, you know, the situation which was arisen in the school business, government school, etc. Now, all these programs, you know, will this be sponsored programs, or can there be, you know, the individuals coming on their own to take up the course and then, you know, go to the different kind of job opportunities that might arise either under Digital India or Skill India and different programs?
Yeah. I think the reality is that you'll have both. As I mentioned, there are completely different models and they're engaged in many different models at the same time. There's one model where industry says, we want people, we'll pay for them.
Okay.
Can you, NIIT, go and find them, train them and supply them to us?
Okay.
Which is completely nothing to do with government at all. It is completely industry funded.
Okay. Okay.
The second model where the industry says, can the student pay, but we'll lend our name and we will give some kind of indication that we will recruit these people if they are meet up to certain standards. So we then market those courses around the country, students pay, join the courses, and then there might be a reimbursement for the course after they join the company. So that's a second kind of model. There's a third model where the student pays partly and the company refunds partly or pays upfront to us partly.
Okay.
Then there are government-related programs, some central government programs. The entire program is funded by the government. We get it. There's a tender. We bid for the tender. We win the tender. They pay us in advance. We mobilize students. We train them. We get them certified. And at each milestone of that process, we get paid. And the whole contract is structured in a way which is cash flow positive. So as long as we deliver on those milestones, we are protected.
Okay.
There are other programs where we get the contract, we have to train, and when the result is a student has passed the course, gets a placement, and he then produces his skills voucher to the government pays him, and automatically the money gets transferred to us. Now, this one is one where there can be a delayed cash flow to us. So we are very careful about this kind of program.
Okay.
we'd rather focus on the earlier ones. There is enough demand in the earlier categories to give us reasonable growth.
Okay. So then you will be very careful in selecting amongst different things.
Absolutely.
As far as corporate learning is concerned, where you say that we will be able to maintain around 15% type of revenue growth. Now, this corporate training, is it mainly IT or it is also beyond IT?
No, it has got, IT is incidental. So to give an example, if you take the recent contract that we won with one of the largest pharma companies in the world in the month of April, I can't name the company since it's not, you're not allowed to.
Okay. Is it US-based?
It's a global company.
Okay.
This company has contracted NIIT to be the strategic sourcing partner for all training that they spend external to the company, which means any money that they spend on training which goes outside the company's own training centers and training academy is routed through NIIT, and our job is to manage all training partners globally in every country that they operate in and make sure they get the results that they want out of that training. And we have therefore a complete insight into the entire training spend of this company. And we can then offer to replace partners with our courses on any subject or build content on any subject so that they don't have to keep paying for the training again and again and get a one-time course which is built by us online. So so it's got nothing to do with IT. There are also customers on the IT sector, but that's just because they happen to be in the IT sector. So we have our main focus industries, by the way, are oil and gas, energy sector, and the BFSI sector, and now the pharmaceutical and life sciences sector. These are the three industries that we are focusing on a lot, and we have some customers in the technology and telecom sector.
Okay, okay. So just one bookkeeping question. In this current year, we said that one-fourth of 25 crore rupees has already accrued. So that would have been shown under different heads of costs, I believe.
Rohit. Yeah. I think your question, maybe Rohit, you can answer.
Yeah.
It was a cost saving,
yeah,
which
yeah,
we had achieved by reducing the cost structure.
Yeah.
So what that is trying to say is that the cost structure had reduced by 25 crores, and this quarter also we have seen the benefit of that,
yeah,
which
yeah,
is about 25% of that. So it would not be under any different head. It's yeah, just reduced spending.
So it would be reflected under different cost heads.
What he's saying is the cost saving must be under discipline.
Yeah, predominantly the savings would be people cost and premises related costs. That's the two main areas where the saving has happened, because those are fixed costs that we had in our internal capacity.
Okay, I understand. Now, sir, and, is there any one-off item in any of these costs? Like, you know, we had huge restructuring costs booked in the fourth quarter.
The all the business transformation costs were taken in the last quarter. In this quarter, you know, we have not reported any exceptional items separately.
Okay, so it is not there. And do you expect anything remaining to come, like any, say, write-off or provisions or things like that?
We have been extra prudent in our quarter four analysis of our operations, and that was the whole exercise of business transformation, to look at every single risk in the system and look at every business and every asset that we had, whether it has a role in the business going forward. And we have taken all the necessary impairments to the best of our ability, of course, to assess it in quarter four itself. I'm sure that all routine businesses have a little bit of such activity going forward, but nothing material will be there, at least not to our knowledge today.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Wadia from GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
NIIT was reporting the enrollment numbers also in the individual learning solution. So for this quarter, I want three numbers. What is the total enrollment so far in the IT, beyond IT, and the skill development courses? What has been the enrollment in Q1? And what are your expectations for FY16?
Yeah, given the fact that we now have a very wide portfolio of courses which are 2 days courses for corporates, 3 year GNIIT course, the mix is actually extremely wide. So we've identified that the enrollment metric doesn't tell us anything at all. So we do not wish to confuse investors with an enrollment metric. Our focus is really on order intake
and on revenue.
Okay, so in that case, for the skill development courses that you have, do they have with the government, how many people you are planning to train in FY16?
We are not giving a stated number for future numbers that we are planning to train.
Okay. And so for the corporate learning group, how many more clients can get added for in FY16?
You've seen the trajectory. We had 21 customers in quarter one last year. We have 25 customers today. I'll leave you to make your own projections.
Okay, I take that. And so, and for the private school that we have added in this quarter, what is an average realization per student?
Private schools?
In the private school business, the number of schools that we have added, what has been average realization per student?
This is an IP-based business, and I think you're trying to compare us with some other companies, I suspect. Our model is different. It is a school-by-school deal. And again, we have a portfolio of products here. There are some products which are sold as IP one time, and then there's a support and service revenue that comes afterwards. There are other products which are courseware-based. So again, trying to get one metric will give you completely the wrong picture because you have a portfolio of businesses.
All right. I take that. Thank you very much and all the best.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Vora from Incido. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on good sets of numbers. Your turnaround this quarter.
Thank you.
My question here is about the NSDC program. You have mentioned that you plan to train 1 crore people over next 5 years. Even if I take a 5,000 rupees as a minimum course fee, whoever pays, whether government pays or the student pays, it amounts to 5,000 crore over 5 years. So is it I'm reading something is wrong in this calculation, or what is your comment on that?
Yeah, good question. There is also something called technology-delivered education. And as we said, our focus is to move towards intensive use of technology. And particularly in this space, since the numbers have to be really large and the ability to pay is really low, the use of technology is going to become extremely important. Number one, to achieve the numbers. Second, to achieve the goals of the government. And therefore, the price points can go down substantially. Okay. And that will be required in this sector. So I think what we're really saying is that NIIT is going to be using technology as a platform for delivering education very heavily going forward, especially in this sector.
So you mean to say some courses will be even below 5,000 rupees? Even if you can train for 2-3 days, 5,000 looks like a very minimal number, isn't it?
You have product companies like Coursera which have free courses, because once you have the IP available on the technology platform, then the price point really is immaterial, because you do not have a person sitting in front of a student conducting a class to a batch of 20 students. So the entire pricing model can be completely different.
But sir, if I read the same statement that you are planning nursing course or a catering course or something like that, I mean, what kind of teaching it would be? Is this number realistic? That is, I want to ascertain. Is 1 crore number which you have given, is this a realistic number, or is just like a MOU signed with government or something like that?
Well, it's a very real number to me. Let me just say, at a personal level, this is one of the reasons why I chose to come back and join NIIT, because I personally want to make an impact in this area. So this number is extremely real to me. Of course, we have to find the answers of how to make it possible. And keep in mind, 10 million people compared to the 500 million that need to be trained in that period is very, very low. And we have trained as a company 35 million people over the last 34 years. So if there's a company which can make a substantial contribution, it has to be us.
But sir, do you really believe 500 million, we are 120 crore people? You mean to say 50 crore people out of the population need to be trained? Is this a realistic number, or is just some number thrown away like this?
It is realistic in the sense that what is India trying to do? Number one, India is growing very fast in terms of economy. Therefore, there is more talent required simply to staff up and service the domestic growth of the industry. Second, because of investment regulations and constraints being removed, multinationals in every sector will be there and the competition will become intense in every sector. Therefore, the standards of workforces in existing companies will be forced to be raised simply to compete in the domestic market itself. Third, Indian companies are now international. If they really want to play in the international stage and be successful and compete shoulder to shoulder with their competitors worldwide, again, quality standards of the workforce have to be raised substantially. But last and least, not the least important, the demographic dividend. India can become the white collar and blue collar production base for the world simply because of the aging phenomenon that's happening in the West. And I have lived in the West and I've seen that most people on the road have gray hair. Okay. So I think all the jobs could come to India, but they will not come if you do not retrain the workforce that already exists. You're right that every single one of those 500 million, will they get retrained? Will somebody pay for that retraining? Probably not.
All right, sir.
I would just like to make one more statement, which is while we discuss this as an opportunity, I think at NIIT we see it as a responsibility also.
All right, sir. Wish you all the best in future endeavor. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ruchi Burde from MK Global. Please go ahead.
So congratulations on good execution. I had two very quick questions. First was regarding, you alluded that NIT has begun on rebranding exercise. For this exercise, do we have some budget in mind and how long this exercise would persist or last?
Yeah. Good question. So the rebranding is focused on repositioning NIIT in the eyes of the consumer and the general public in India as much more than an IT training organization. This challenge is predominantly in India because in India for 35 years we have been known as an IT training organization and the brand is extremely strong but has its own impact on our ability to offer other products which are not IT related. Therefore, it's become extremely important for us to reposition the brand to mean much more than IT training. And therefore, we are positioning ourselves now as a global skill and talent development corporation, which covers the entire ambit of corporate to government to individual. And it also covers entire curriculum from subject A to subject B to subject C. So we're basically saying we are in the skilling business and not in the IT training business. This quarter and this season, which is basically quarter one and quarter two, we have set aside a specific budget as part of a marketing budget to focus on brand building, and that will continue into quarter two. Over time, we will obviously continue to spend some more on the branding. But all this is part of the absorbed costs. We have not amortized any of these costs. They're part of the OPEX.
And when we say that for skills and career business, we want to see this business in black in this financial year, we are taking cognizance of this marketing or rebranding head of expense.
Yes.
Okay. And in our earlier conversation, one of the participants asked regarding the IP-led private school business. In that conversation, you happened to mention that we also have asset-heavy business in the private schools. So we investors are more aware of your execution on in government school business where company want to exit that business because it's an asset-heavy business. So what will be the future of this asset-heavy private school business going forward?
Same as the government schools business.
And we have made we shared this about 5 quarters ago, that given the high intensity of the school business, both private and public, capital intensive business will be discontinued. We have not been taking new orders in that. And this is what is also known as, in some of the competitors' terms, the subscription model. We don't believe it is a viable model, and fortunately our exposure in that business was low, and we have had, we are of course discontinuing that, and we have not been, but we are executing all the current contracts to the extent that they are valid.
Yeah, but one difference is that we will continue to service schools in that space for the IP component of those contracts, because schools also are increasingly looking at possibility of acquiring the assets on their own and acquiring IP and people-based services in that same space that we used to offer the entire package. So it doesn't mean that we'll exit that area completely. We may only have part of the business, which is IP-led.
Sure. So are our chances of converting that asset-heavy business into a subscription model where we want to have more share of business, will that be a higher chance rather than completely exiting those private asset-heavy schools?
I think school by school, every private school, it is our desire to remain in that school offering services, which could be, but they have to be IP-led. So that's a constant effort that goes on all the time. And if you've been doing good service in the school, the chances of being able to renew and offer other products that we have in the school sector are obviously higher. And that is the focus that we have.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Operator, can we have one question, last question, or is there, more?
Sir, there are two questions in the queue.
Two questions. Okay. Just pass them on, please.
Certainly. It's from the line of Hitesh Doshi, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my questions are answered. Thank you.
Oh, so nice of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We were just getting late for one more call, but I don't want to miss out on any questions.
So we have the last question from the line of K. Podar from KB Capital Markets Private Limited. Please go ahead.
What is the philosophy behind the subsidiarization of your school business? Do you want to get in a partner there?
Yeah, good question. Schools business, as you know, is our third business, smaller of our three businesses. And with the exiting from the government sector, the business that is left is also smaller. At the same time, there is a big opportunity in that space. We have built a reputation, we've built a brand, we are respected in the school sector, and there's an opportunity for continuing to grow the B2B private school business around the IP and people-based services. But there's also an opportunity to extend that into the B2C space on the back of the more than million students that we currently train in all the schools that we service. So we want to make sure that we unlock the value of the brand and image and reputation that we have created over the years in this business. And for that, by creating a separate subsidiary, we will be able to bring in the necessary investment and strategic investors who can help us together invest and grow that business. And that is really the focus of setting up a separate subsidiary.
Okay. And as far as the Skill India is concerned, you are thinking, you are talking of 1 crore over 5 years, which is around 20 lakhs per year. I mean, how do you service that huge volume of people? I mean, obviously, your centers will not be sufficient to service such volume of people. So does that mean that many of them will be serviced on the net only?
Technology will obviously have to be a very, very substantial part of the solution. But also the distribution of the network. As I said, we are expanding our distribution network substantially beyond the current business partners who offer all courses. But it's a different kind of network. It will be an execution delivery network rather than a complete business partner model that we have today. We need reach, we need presence in all the little towns and cities. And we will tie up with local agencies who will provide us the infrastructure, classrooms, maybe some computers if it's required, depending on the kind of course. And more important, they have access to the local student target population, and they're much better equipped to bring them into the classrooms. And our role is to provide the standards, the courseware, the faculty, and the technology.
Okay, so what I understand is that the infrastructure acquisition will be need-based. I mean, for a particular course, you require something, you'll have the infrastructure for that course, right?
Absolutely. If you take the Uber model or you take the Airbnb model, classrooms are available in plenty all over India. You don't need to build new classrooms.
Okay. No, I get your point. Thank you. I mean, I wish you all the best in your technology based whatever you're planning to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your time. I hope that in my first investor presentation at the end of the first quarter of my responsibility as CEO, I have handled the presentation well and I've answered your questions well. I'm sure I'll improve as I go through each of these quarters. My team has worked extremely hard over the last two quarters with the business transformation and then with the re-energizing that we've done in this quarter. What's important is that we had very clear plans, very precise and detailed plans, and we've executed to those plans, and therefore we've been able to see the results that we wanted to achieve for this quarter. There's a lot of work ahead. The 10 million people that we have defined as a goal for ourselves, and I want to emphasize it's a goal. We intend to do everything possible to get there, but that is not something that you may need to factor into our forecast going forward for the next few quarters, because we will do here and now business over the next few quarters. Okay. I look forward to interacting with you further and to continue to keep answering questions through our investor relationships manager, Kapil. Vijay, over to you.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on the call. As usual, we will be available to you after the call one-on-one basis. Kapil Saurabh is the contact person. And your questions, as usual, have opened many more doors in our minds, and I'm sure the team would rise to the occasion in meeting your expectations. So thank you very much, and look forward to speak with you or meet with you in person. All the best.
Thank you very much, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.